This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The number of Americans collecting disability payments has reached a new high of 11 million. For every 13 workers in the United States, one person collects federal disability benefits instead of working. If a new state were formed with all the people collecting disability checks, it would be the eighth largest state in the country. Federal disability checks are supposed to help those physically incapable of supporting themselves. But it is preposterous to think that all 11 million beneficiaries are unable to work. Americans today are no less able than 30 years ago, and workplaces have become more accommodating of disabled employees. Yet since the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the number of people taking federal tax dollars through disability programs has more than doubled. Each month, there are 100,000 more disability claims than there are new jobs created. Disability awards for heart disease and cancer have roughly the same frequency as they did 30 years ago, but benefits for mental illness have increased 177%. It looks like some able-bodied people may be abusing the system. Disability benefits are funded by payroll taxes. Job-creating employers and hard-working employees are bearing the burden. Each misleading disability claim prevents industrious Americans from being able to support their families. The abuse of the federal disability system hurts more than the workforce. It also hurts the severely disabled who really are incapable of working. The disability program is on track to go broke in 3 years. When it does, many veterans who were severely wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with other legitimately disabled people, will lose their financial stability. Our elected officials need to reform the system so that the available money can be spent on the truly disabled.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Chances are you or someone you care about is unemployed or underemployed. At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we're weighing the causes and solutions of this national crisis. One thing is certain, more government spending is not the answer. Join the blog at egoforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
In these unpredictable times, you can never be too prepared. Mentally, physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of food rights. That's right. In this great police state we live in, they are coming after small farmers, people who want to have the right to drink raw milk, and the list goes on and on and on. And for the first 2 hours, we're going to take a break from Syria. We're going to take a break from 9/11. We'll do a 9/11 special tomorrow. We're going to take the last hour of tonight's show to talk about the speech that Barry Sotero gave and so on and so forth. Steve Starr should be riding shotgun with us for that. But for the next 2 hours, I'm really excited about this. David Gumpert is going to be joining us. He wrote a new book called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights. And he asks, do Americans have the right to privately obtain the foods of our choice from farmers, neighbors, and local producers in the same way our grandparents and great-grandparents used to? Well, yes, say a growing number of people, increasingly afraid that the mass-produced food sold at supermarkets is excessively processed, tainted with antibiotic residues and hormones, and lacking in the important nutrition. These people, a million or more, are seeking foods outside the regulatory system, like raw milk, custom slaughtered beef, and pastured eggs from chickens raised without soy, purchased directly from private membership-only food clubs that contract with Amish and other farmers. Public health and agriculture regulators, however, say no. Americans have no inherent right to eat what they want. In today's ever more dangerous food safety environment, they argue, all food, no matter the source, must be closely regulated and even barred if it falls and it fails to meet certain standards. These regulatory agencies, headed up by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, with the help from state agricultural departments, police, and district attorney detectives, are mounting intense and sophisticated investigative campaigns against farms and food clubs supplying privately exchanged food, even handcuffing and hauling off to jail these people under threat of lengthy prison terms. Those deemed in violation of food laws are under attack, ladies and gentlemen, and our guest book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights, takes readers on a disturbing cross-country journey from Maine to California through a netherworld of Amish farmers paying big fees to questionable adversaries to avoid the quagmire of America's legal system, secret food police lurking in vans at farmers markets, cultish activists preaching the benefits of pathogens, U.S. Justice Department lawyers clashing with local sheriffs, small Maine towns passing ordinances to ban regulations, and suburban moms worried enough about the dangers of supermarket food that they'll risk fines and jail to feed their children unprocessed, unregulated foods of their choosing. one of the out of the intensity, rather, of this unprecedented crackdown and the creative and spirited opposition that is rising to meet it, a new rallying cry for food rights is emerging, and documenting a lot of this and so much more in his book is David Gumper. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Show, David. Great to have you.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
So there's a lot to this. It's kind of an important topic. Well, it's not kind of an important topic. It is an important topic. And let's start from Maine. Last year, I had the benefit of interviewing Farmer Dan Brown, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that's his name.
Yeah, okay. So Farmer Dan Brown is a dairy farmer who has just a couple cows, based on my recollection.
Yes, just two cows.
Two cows. And he was attacked by some sort of bizarre bureaucratic legislation, and well, it really changed his life. Do you document his case in your book?
I do. I do. I have a whole chapter devoted to the Dan Brown case, which is really falls under the rubric of something called food sovereignty. And it's really a term used interchangeably with food rights. But the people in Maine, in about 10 different small towns, have they've been watching the situation that you described. Kind of summarizing my book, they've been watching all these challenges and indictments and criminal charges against farmers around the country. And they said to themselves, you know, we don't want to just try to fight this stuff in court. We want to try to take the initiative here. And what we'll do is we will localize this whole process, this whole movement. In other words, we'll get individual towns to pass ordinances to legalize the private transactions, private sales of food between farmers and other food producers and local citizens. And so the 10 towns in Maine, mostly along the Maine coast, passed these ordinances over the last couple years, I think beginning in 2011. And, I think it was started with a half a dozen towns. I think last year another three towns passed it. Just in the last couple months, another town or two passed it. And one of the towns that passed it I'm trying to think of which one is Dan Brown's town, but I think it's Blue Hill, Maine, is Dan Brown's town. And I may be wrong with the town, but in any event, his town passed one of these ordinances. And the State Department of Agriculture, backed by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, didn't like what they were seeing with these towns passing these ordinances. Now, I should say that Maine has a very liberal home rule provision in its constitution, its state constitution. So the towns and the people behind the ordinance felt pretty comfortable that this would, it had legal standing because, these ordinances, in a sense, run counter to state regulations. What they say is, hey, you can farmers and consumers can exchange food privately, and there's no regulation involved. There's no, all the state public health laws and the federal health or regulatory provisions don't apply once we have one of these ordinances. We're saying that farmers don't have to worry about these in our town. And so, these authorities didn't like it. And what they did was the state did a lot of things to try to discredit raw milk. They went after every single case of illness from that they didn't know the cause of, and they tried to pin it on raw milk, and they couldn't do it. They did this about a half dozen times, and one of the people they looked at was in this kind of dragnet was Dan Brown, and they went to his farm and they bought milk and they bought other food that he sells, and they sent it off to the state lab and had it measured, and but they couldn't, no one had gotten sick. And so they really didn't have much of a case, but they made a case anyway, and they filed a suit asking for an injunction prohibiting him from selling raw milk and other foods on his farm without the proper state license.
And under criminal penalty, right?
It was not either a felony a charge or a criminal misdemeanor charge, but it was a civil charge, I believe. So I think the worst they could have done was a hefty fine, and eventually it did go to court just a few months ago, and a state judge ruled.
Well, when we come back, David, I want to hear what happened when it went to court recently. We'll tease that, and then we'll come right back. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with David Gumper.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
All right, welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. We're talking with author David Gumpert, who wrote a new book called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights. And David, we were discussing the Dan Brown case in Maine. and you're about to get to a recent court decision. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the case involving Dan Brown was taken up by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Like a lot of lawyers, had trouble, you know, hiring his own lawyer and paying the big legal fees. And fortunately, there's this Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which has been helping farmers like Dan Brown. So they got involved. They defended him. This became a pretty big legal case. Depositions were taken, hundreds of pages of legal briefs back and forth. And eventually, a judge decided it. When I say a judge decided it, you know what happened, because when a judge decides these cases, almost every single case I've followed, the judge decides in favor of the state, and that's what they did in this case. The only time a farmer has a prayer is when the case goes before a jury,
mm-hmm.
and in those cases, then the juries of ordinary people are much more understanding and sympathetic right. toward what the judges
are. From what I recall of the case, and it's been a while since I've read about it, but there was some sort of bureaucrat who happened to be a dairy farm guy and was pretty much involved in this with a huge conflict of interest. Is that right?
I'm not sure which individual you're referring to. It might be one of the people at the Maine Department of Agriculture.
I believe it was.
Yeah, and I believe the head of the Maine Department of Agriculture either was or is a dairy farmer. And,
right.
So, yeah, that may be the case. I mean, if that is the case, it's not unusual. I mean, there the potential conflicts of interest in these cases are, you know, just come up in all kinds of ways. But
right.
The judge in this case, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure that was a deciding factor, because the judges are just so biased toward the state, and
mm-hmm.
And the reason they're biased is they believe everything the state's agriculture and public health people argue, that raw milk and these other foods are potentially dangerous. And so they don't want to be in a position of potentially being responsible for someone getting sick, even if
sure.
no one has gotten sick and no one seems likely to get sick. But they still are very afraid and very
well. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah.
Raw milk. There seems to be a lot of to-do about raw milk. Is raw milk dangerous? And if not, is the pasteurized stuff no good for you? Is raw milk something that people should ideally be drinking?
Those are complicated questions, but let me try to answer them as simply as I can. The reason I said they're complicated is because there's so many different opinions about just answering the question, is raw milk dangerous? Public health people say it's terribly dangerous and you shouldn't. It's like the FDA has compared it to playing Russian roulette with your health. But then, you know, there are people who, there are hundreds of thousands and probably millions of people drinking raw milk every day. The USDA came up with a figure of about 9 million people in a survey they did a few years back. So
9 million terrorists, Dave.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's another way of looking at it. But they're drinking raw milk every day, and you think, you know, if it was really that dangerous, they'd be keeling over and dropping dead. And that's not happening. You have somewhere on the order, from what I've been able to determine, I've looked through the Center for Disease Control data on this, between 25 and 175 illnesses from raw milk every year. And that's out of a total of about anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 illnesses that are recorded by the CDC for all foods. So it's a 1% or less of all the illnesses. So you have raw milk getting a small number of people sick, and then you have all kinds of other foods. You have chicken and ground beef and chicken salad at church picnics and burritos at fast food places getting people sick every single day. And so, but somehow raw milk takes a lot of heat, and captures a lot of headlines. Part of it is that when people do get sick, it tends to be, with raw milk, it tends to be kids. And because kids tend to, you know, they drink a lot of milk. That makes it emotionally charged. And plus you have the public health establishment, which feels that pasteurization was a solution or is a solution to raw milk, and so the raw milk problem was solved years ago, and here people are still, you know, wanting to drink raw milk. Pasteurized milk, you asked about pasteurized milk, is it dangerous or is it does it lack in nutrition? Mm-hmm. It, from everything we can tell, it doesn't have the nutritional benefits that raw milk has. It has some nutritional benefits, but the process of pasteurization seems to kill off good bacteria. It seems to damage certain proteins that are important to good health. Just as one example, there's some very large-scale studies out of Europe which have shown that raw milk reduces incidence of asthma and allergies in children compared to pasteurized milk. But the researchers couldn't figure out exactly why. They theorized that there's a protein that helps confer immunity on the raw milk drinkers, and that this protein is damaged in pasteurization. And there's more research going on. Notice the research is going on in Europe. It's not going on in the U.S., and the U.S. has been has blocked and all research pretty much that has to do with raw milk, and that's because the FDA is so adamantly against raw milk.
Interesting stuff. And when you mention people are getting sick, is it, are these life-threatening illnesses?
For the most part, they aren't. For the most common illnesses from raw milk are Campylobacter, which is almost always a very mild illness. It's an upset stomach for perhaps 4 to 7 days. But there are a small number of people who get sick from raw milk that are sickened by something called E. coli 0157H7. And that is a nasty illness. At its best, it's a very bad upset stomach, but it can turn into complications with something called hemolytic uremic syndrome, and that leads to shutdown of the kidneys. And most people who get it, and it tends to be, like I said, with milk, it tends to be kids. When they get it, it's a really bad situation. They tend to recover pretty well, but sometimes they don't recover well, and they have lasting kidney damage. That's a bad situation. Now, I should add that it doesn't just happen from raw milk. I mean, kids can get, and adults as well, can get E. coli 0157 from ground beef or from raw spinach, and they have gotten it, and they've gotten the hemolytic uremic syndrome as well.
Interesting stuff. We're talking with David Gumpert, author of the new book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights. When we come back, we'll talk more about these farmers that are being harassed by the state. Talk about the Vernon Hirschberg case. Is that his name? Hirschberg? Something like that. Yeah, Hirschberger. There he goes. We'll be right back.
Tuscan Show.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper
FTC,
to lean the right and no
the
paper
FDA.
To waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean
Is
if
it?
You can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its
what
duty
do they want,
by
then?
Both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff.
When did you say when we're taking calls?
Information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
Second hour.
Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Freedom ain't free, but shooting is cheap. Knob Creek Gun Range. Shoot safe, pay less, have fun. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, cannons, what you got? We got a 350-yard outdoor range, plus other secret ranges we're not even supposed to talk about. Come to Knob Creek Gun Range in West Point, Kentucky, and celebrate diversity at our next shoot coming up on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Visit our website at knobcreekrange.com to find out more information on everyday activities or to get information on the October shoot on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Or call 502-922-4457. Again, that's 502-922-4457. Knob Creek Gun Range, where the Second Amendment comes first. Go to knobcreekrange.com today or just show up ready to fire at 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Call 502-922-4457.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt.
We're talking about the Vernon Hirschberger case, and David, you've done a lot of work with that case as well. Was he able to get in the book, or did this happen afterwards?
No, Vernon Hirschberger is in the book. He and Dan Brown are two of really seven farmers that I chronicle in the book. And the reason these seven farmers are included in the book is because their cases are all kind of intertwined. They're part of a national campaign by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration against small farmers, and especially small farmers that are selling nutrient-dense food on a private basis direct to consumers.
What do you think the agenda is behind this? So let's get into some conspiracy theories here for a moment, David. And I know you've done a great job documenting what's exactly happening, but what, there's got to be a motive here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's one single motive. I mean, certainly part of it, it seems pretty clearly to be part of the corporate agenda. The large food corporations, for the most part, sell their food in a monopolistic kind of a way. There are four companies that control between 50 and 70% of America's meat production, the poultry, beef, and pork production, as well as milk production. And so they're really not technically a monopoly. They're what you call an oligopoly. But what as kind of monopolistically oriented as they are, they don't like competitors. And so what's happening is, as people become more afraid of their factory produced food, the food they find in supermarkets and at the box stores, and they look for alternative sources, they tend to go to they go to farmers markets, and then they go oftentimes to directly to farms and join food clubs and that buy directly from specific farms. And as more people do this, the corporations get nervous and get upset, and they turn to the regulators to do something on their behalf. And since the corporations are making large contributions to the politicians who pass the budgets that provide the paychecks to the regulators, well, the regulators are responsive to all this. So that's certainly part of it. Another part of it has to do, I believe, with the teaching that goes on to the public health people. They're taught to worry a great deal about pathogens, and they're focused on disease in this kind of simplistic way, and they don't acknowledge the importance of, say, good bacteria, and the importance of building up immunity and those kinds of things, because they really want to have things that they can measure more simply, and so they can measure when people get sick from pathogens, and so that they tend to discount these other kinds of factors, and those two issues I'd say are the probably, you know, the big ones that are kind of pushing this agenda along.
Right, and let's go back to the Vernon Hershberger case. I always butcher his name. Yeah, Hershberger. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I keep thinking I'm butchering it. No pun intended there. Tell us about that. For those listeners that don't know about the case, tell them about it.
Well, Vernon Hershberger has a dairy farm in Wisconsin, about an hour outside of Madison. Beautiful country. I've been there a few times, and I think it's about a 140-acre farm. He moved to Wisconsin. He was raised as an Amish farmer and moved to Wisconsin with his father from Ohio back in the 1990s, and they decided they wanted to sell food privately to members of a food club that they would organize. And so in the early 2000s, they started this food club, and it grew pretty rapidly and became popular. And then everyone who joined the food club really liked Vernon's food. It's not just raw milk, but it's all the products that come from raw milk, like butter and the yogurt and the kefir and the ice cream, plus fermented vegetables and pastured eggs and good meat and chicken and so forth. And so everything was going along great until 2010, when the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture got involved and decided that what Vernon was doing was illegal. Now, why they picked him and why they decided then to do this, I don't think anyone will ever know, but except that they were probably working at the behest of the FDA. As I said, that's kind of the common thread. We have some email transmissions between the Wisconsin authorities and the FDA, as well as state regulators in Illinois, and they seem to be working in concert to go after raw milk and to go after small farmers like Vernon. They did have gone after other farmers besides Vernon. They've gone after, as I said, they've gone after Dan Brown in Maine. They went after Vernon. They've gone after farmers in a farmer in Indiana, an Amish farmer. They've gone after an Amish farmer in Pennsylvania, and so they went after Vernon. And but what they did to Vernon It's a little different than what they've done to most of them. They wound up filing criminal charges against him, which is very unusual for any state agency to file criminal charges for failing to have a retail license or failing to have a dairy permit. These are kinds of, like in the Dan Brown case, they tend to go after him as civil cases with the threat of a fine. But for some reason, they got really pissed off at Vernon, and I think probably because he stood up to them, and he said he wasn't going to go along with getting a license, a retail license, because to get a retail license in Wisconsin may allow you to sell packaged foods, but you're not allowed to sell raw milk. And the raw dairy products, that would have done away with half his business. So it was kind of a catch 22. Even if he wanted to get a retail license, but he wasn't inclined to anyway, because his argument was and is, hey, I'm selling outside the retail system. I don't want to sell retail. I have a private club here. I have members who pay a fee to join my club. They sign an agreement and. They're members of my club because they don't want to be buying retail. So that was the argument he made, and it wound up going to trial last May, a 5-day trial. Because it was a criminal case, he got, and this is a guarantee in our Constitution, when you're charged with a criminal offense, you are entitled to a trial by jury. And so that's what he got, and he had a 5-day trial. And the jury, 12 men and women, acquitted him of all the licensing charges. They did convict him of violating what's called a hold order when they came in and raided his farm and put tape on his coolers and so forth. He decided he wasn't going to obey that hold order, and he was very public about it. So he was convicted on that one charge. The judge eventually sentenced him to. We gave him $1,000 fine and $500 in court costs and told him to get the hell out of there because I think he'd had enough of Vernon. Right. But it was a very interesting case. What?
I'm glad he stood up, though.
You know? Yeah, he stood up for all of us, really, when he did that, because a lot of people thought he was making a huge mistake, that he was risking his farm. I mean, if he had been found guilty, he would have been lost his livelihood, and he could have been thrown in jail for up to 2 years, I believe it was, or even more than that. Wow. So he did take a big risk.
Fascinating stuff. One of the things here you mentioned in your description of your book are secret food police hiding in vans at farmers markets. What is that referring to?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how often it happened, but I found... was able to come into possession of documentation that described, that actually investigator reports where they talked about putting together a sophisticated recording and video devices that they attached to inspectors who would go into farmers markets. And this was in a case in California involving an outfit called Rossum Food Club, and
right.
they were buying food from a few farmers, one of whom was a farmer in Ventura County, just north of Los Angeles. And so these California Department of Agriculture investigators went with these vans and listening devices to farmers markets to try to...
Amazing. We got to take a quick break, David. We'll be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off
with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
Lines next hour with our special guest tonight, David Gumpert, and it's been a fascinating talk this far. David, we were talking about the secret food police, and you were bringing up the Rossum case, where I think almost anybody who's paying attention to these issues would instantly remember the FDA and FBI, I think it was, and Sheriff's Department coming in with their guns drawn, raiding this raw milk co-op, if you will. Tell us more.
Actually, I just a small correction. I think the FBI was the only agency that wasn't there. Just about every other agency was there, though.
All right, and, fair enough. We got to give them credit where credit's due in this
right. I say that only because I think somebody at Rossum said that publicly, and they went into the LA district attorney went in to a judge and made reference to that and said, they're even saying the FBI came in, and that's not true, and they're making everyone hysterical. And, you know, he was asking for secrecy, that the judge not allow the warrant to be released publicly because of his hysteria. I mean, you know, actually, as it turned out, there were I think, four or five agencies on that first raid, which was on June 30th, 2010, and then on the next raid, which was August of 2011, there were like 8 or 10 agencies. And so it was there were a lot of law enforcement.
So I did get the FBI from somewhere then, I guess.
Yeah, you did. You did.
It's been a while, so it's funny that I thought that.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was. So they used they used these undercover investigations they were doing, where they were putting video cameras into purses and into the shirt pockets of investigators to record these transactions at farmers markets. They were using all that information as evidence against Rossum. And so what they did was they raided the Rossum in June of 2010 the first time, and they didn't file charges then. They shut Rossum down, and the people who ran Rossum, James Stewart was the owner, reopened within a few days. And justified the shutdown order, and they reopened, and they stayed open for another 14 months until the second raid came along. And the second raid not only confiscated all the food, about $80,000 worth of food, but they also filed criminal felony charges against not only James Stewart, the owner of Rossum, but against the farmer, Sharon Palmer, whom they were investigating with these secret techniques, and another a woman who worked for Sharon, Victoria Block. And they filed, I think it was 14 felony charges against Palmer and Stewart, and I think 6 or 8 against Block. And the total penalties were, I think, up to 40 years in prison for these. It was basically illegal sale of raw milk, and as well as selling without certain licenses and so forth. So they were really taking a very hard line by filing felony charges against them. But that was the result, once again, of this kind of agenda we talked about earlier of federal government working with the states and the localities to go after small farms and private food clubs.
It's a scary world we live in, where the people like this are being attacked, literally attacked, by the government.
Just minding their own business, basically. Yeah. People are thrilled to be able to get this kind of good food, and no one's getting sick. There are no evidence of any illnesses at any of these places. Dan Brown or Vernon Hershberger or Rossum, quite the contrary. It was the people were getting healthy. They weren't getting sick, so it was. Each of these cases, it kind of went in with ever more intensity and ever more violence. They like you said, they went in to Rossum the first time with their guns drawn, and these were the L.A. District Attorney's officers, and there was no one. There's no resistance. As you could well imagine.
We live in a backwards world where the people who are doing the right thing as far as food is concerned are prosecuted, and those selling aspartame, high fructose corn syrup, and all the other poisons are allowed to do whatever they like with little or no oversight.
That's exactly right.
Tell us about the FDA, David. What does the FDA do? What is their role in all this, and what oversight is there of the FDA?
Well, the FDA, I always like to think about their name. It's the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. So you have drugs, which is really their main role in life, is to regulate drugs, to test drugs and approve drugs, and make sure that to try to monitor their side effects and all those sorts of things. And they also, the same people, have charge of overseeing a lot of our food supply. They don't have total control over the food supply because it's divided between the FDA and the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture. And it's a really kind of a complicated thing where for example, the FDA has control over eggs, and the USDA has control over chickens. So, you know, it gets confusing, especially for farmers. But the FDA has kind of taken more and more control over food from the USDA, and so now we have and the FDA has been arguing for years now that they don't have enough control because people are getting sick from food, from pathogens in food, and they and the FDA doesn't have the power to go in and stop them all the time. That's kind of what their argument was. Even though they have a fair amount of authority, they can go to court and get warrants and get charges filed against people who are intentionally violating the law and trying to, you know, cut corners and produce unsafe food. But they said they don't. And they got they went to Congress and got a law passed that's called the Food Safety Modernization Act, which you may have heard of. It was passed in late 2010 and signed into law in early 2011. And it gives the FDA a huge amount of power that it didn't have before. Basically, they can go, for the first time, they have the authority to go and regulate farms. This is something that's never been done in our history, where farms are directly regulated. If people are getting sick, the local authorities have, public health authorities have something to say about it. But there's no one that's gone on to farms and said, you know, we're going to measure your water, and we're going to measure your you see how what you're doing about crop rotation and what you're doing about you know, fertilization and you know, all those kinds of things. And now the FDA really has that authority under the Food Safety Modernization Act. They also have a lot of they have authority over all food producers to force them to write very detailed plans. Safety plans, and to go on to go to farms or go to food producers and be able to inspect them anytime.
And who's watching the watchers in this case?
No one really. I mean, the U.S. Congress is you know, regulates or you know a budget is supposed to monitor the FDA. They approve the budgets that the FDA gets its money, and but the FDA in particular has kind of a cast a spell, you know, over Congress. The reason being that the politicians see these people at the FDA and say, well, you know, those guys are scientists and they're all knowing. We're just politicians. We don't really understand the, you know, science of pathogens and all. They talk in mumbo jumbo over there, and so They pretty much let them do whatever they want, and they do whatever they want.
Ah, the belief in scientism, huh? Yeah,
yeah.
It's the old story there. All right, David, we're gonna take a break and then come back with another hour. We'll also open up the phone lines if you have any questions or comments for David Gumpert, our special guest tonight. His book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights, 800-313-9443. We'll also tell you how you can buy the book. In just moments, don't go anywhere.
The Bob Tuscan.
Freedom ain't.